This is Graham. He's new to PokerStars. Graham doesn't know it yet, but he's a VIP. He's entitled to claim points against any number of rewards in the PokerStars VIP program. From PlayStations to plasmas, from Porsches to seats at major on- and offline poker tournaments. You see, he started collecting VIP points the minute he joined PokerStars as a real money player. Because we don't think you should have to apply or be in the know to earn rewards. He'll be very excited when he finds out. Just you wait and see. Wait for it. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP and find out why all other reward schemes seem just a little, well, inaccessible. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Annie Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It is June 18th, 2010, and you're listening to the best PokerCast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
Scott, I promised myself I wouldn't cry.
Yeah, but we know. Every time you say that you and Eugenie stay up late at night and watch Rounders, I really know you guys are staying up late watching Steel Magnolias.
I do. I have a little hanky, and I dab my eyes. It's just a weepy occasion here, man. 5 years ago this week, you and I sat down in an office with...
Now, let's be honest. It wasn't an office.
It was an office
it was a
area.
Break room.
Next to a microwave with a little black box and one gray microphone.
That's right.
And talked for 6.5 minutes about whatever it was that we talked about, and we were terrible. I haven't improved much, but 5 years later, we're still going strong. Have not missed a week in 5 years. Happy anniversary to us. Yay.
Yay. Where's the streamers and balloons and stuff? That was your job, man.
Hey, they're falling from my ceiling. I don't know.
Oh, all right. Great. Perfect. Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned 6.5 minutes because I was remembering it as 5, but you're probably closer. But, you know, I posted our little 5-year anniversary on the NAMagazine.com Facebook page this morning. And a bunch of listeners jumped in pretty quickly, and one of them said, "Hey, you guys have come a long way since that first show that was 15 minutes." I'm like, 15 minutes? We didn't hit that until, like, the first year.
Wow, that's giving us a lot of credit right there.
And I'm quite certain if that first show was 15 minutes, we probably wouldn't have been a second show.
And I remember, too, we were sitting there, like, reading the script that I wrote verbatim in this monotone. Yeah, it's like... I'm Chris Cosenza, and I like No Limit Hold'em, and he's Scott Long, and he likes Limit Hold'em. So we're going to stay here today, and we're going to talk to you about poker. It's like, oh, my God.
Oh, and one of the funnier stories, I don't know if we've told people this before, but, you know, our producer at the time, who was the intern that really got us into podcasting,
right?
He actually made us do the whole show over. He's like, come on, one more time with energy.
And it was done over, and it still sounds like that. That's what's sad. That is so sad. We have never done a show over, you know, since. And, man, but we got better. We got better as it went along.
Yeah, we still have a huge room for improvement, you know. Very high ceilings here at Annie Up, so.
Cathedral ceilings.
Yes.
At Annie Up. But anyway, happy anniversary, buddy. It's been a long, crazy, wild road, and... I would never have imagined sitting there in that break room while somebody was reheating their Lean Cuisine that you and I would be where we are today, man. It's just
absolutely.
Incredible.
It is amazing.
Well, you know, I had a... Go ahead.
I also don't think that I would have thought at that point that 5 years from now that you would have an issue with the poker player that no one has an issue with, the legendary Dole Brunson. But apparently that's what's happened.
Oh, man. You know, I have to tell you, I was watching Poker After Dark, the cash game, and it's a 2-week run of the same players, and they just swap them out. And one of the players at the table, of course, was Doyle Brunson, Texas Dolly, And another player was Phil Locke. Now, everyone knows that when Phil Locke plays and is involved in a hand, and it's a pretty big decision or whatever, he does his Unabomber thing and you know, hides his face or whatever it is, ties the hood over, whatever. And he got into a little bit of a discussion with Doyle, and Doyle started telling him, you know, hey, you know, I don't think that's right. You know, I think it should be banned from poker. I don't think that you should be allowed to do that. And I thought, wow, you know, here's Doyle, you know, the godfather of poker, speaking up, and when he speaks up, people listen. And, you know, and Phil Locke basically cowered to him and said, all right, Dolly, I won't do it anymore. I'm sorry, you know, I don't want to get Dolly mad at me, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like, okay, you know, hey, if that's the way Texas Dolly feels, that's fine. You know, if he thinks that people shouldn't wear sunglasses and hoods and cover their faces up so you can't see them, and, you know, that's fine. But, you know, a couple of episodes later, he's involved in a hand with Dwan, Tom Dwan Durr, and who has the 10-gallon cowboy hat on? None other than our Texas Dolly. And as he's looking at Dwan, and he's in a hand with Dwan, he puts his head down, and the whole brim covers his entire face. And he's doing it so Dwan can't see his face. And I'm like, wait a minute. A couple of episodes, you were giving a lot of crap for covering his face with his hand and his sunglasses, but you've been doing the same thing for 60 years with your big hat. How is that not hypocritical?
Well, you know, here's the thing, Chris. I don't think there's anything wrong with Doyle taking a little cat nap at the table. I just think you're being a little hard on the guy here. He's like, what, 97 years old now? He's going to need to take a nap every once in a while. And I'm sorry, I'm going to take a stand right here. I think napping in poker has a place in poker.
And, you know, I think he did fall asleep at least once during this episode. But it's true. I mean, he does put his head down when he's in a hand with somebody, and the hat completely covers his face from the opponent, if the opponent's, like, next to him or near him or exactly across from him. Now, how is that any different than using a hood in your hands or, you know, or how come he doesn't say anything to Phil Hellmuth when Hellmuth's got his hands doing the Navarro perch covering his face with his hands? I mean, I thought I couldn't believe Doyle was saying that and then would do that, you know, two episodes later, which accounted probably for 2 hours later in the cash game. You know, I don't get it.
Well, I got to say, Chris, you know, we as we said at the top of the show, we've come a long way in 5 years. And I'm very happy to hear that it's only taken you 5 years to realize that poker players are hypocritical.
Well, I chose a special occasion to do it.
I know you've lost a little bit of your innocence this morning. but here's the newsflash, buddy. Poker players lie, cheat, and steal. And complain about stuff that they do themselves. That's just the nature of poker, buddy.
So how do you feel, though? Do you feel like that people should be allowed to cover up or do whatever they want? At the table?
I don't see what the big problem is.
Yeah, I mean, neither.
Am I wrong? I mean, you know, of all the terrible things that I would like to ban from poker, the fact that some idiot wants to wear sunglasses or put himself in a hood or put a garbage bag over his head, you know, whatever.
I mean, the next thing you know is he's going to, like, insist that everyone uses their webcam when they're playing online and sit in front of the thing they look for tells, you know?
I think it is a an issue that is being made up by folks. So, but it's like everything. It all depends on what kind of mood you're in that day and things like that. So,
yeah.
I don't think we're going to be seeing a new TDA rule on covering body parts. Though I will support covering some body parts from some people. That I don't have a problem with.
Oh man, that's gross. So, you know, of course, I had a choice to make this week. It was the debut of the Big Game, PokerStars' right. new cash game show, versus Poker After Dark, which happened to be a cash game show this week. And it wasn't that tough of a choice. Pretty easy choice. One company sponsors us and one doesn't. I'm watching the Big Game. It's different, too. I mean, they have, I'm sure everyone knows, but PokerStars has this thing where the sixth player at the table or whatever is a regular person who qualifies on PokerStars and gets a $100,000 buy-in, and anything they win over 100 grand, they get to keep. And this first guy, man, they call him the loose cannon. This guy is crazy. And there was this one hand, real quick, There's this one hand against it was four-handed at one point, but he straddles too. This guy was great. I mean, he was straddling for 800. I mean, it was awesome. This guy, you know, he's like, what
the
hell, right?
Free money.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, what the hell? I might as well enjoy this. So
I'd be inventing up new straddles. I'd be doing the South Dakota straddle. Free money.
Well, the funny thing is that he gets two limpers, but people who call the straddle, and then Helmuth on the button looks down at ace nine. So he raises, and it gets to our loose cannon, and he looks down in the straddle at pocket kings. He just calls, by the way, which everyone thought was a mistake. You know, I'm talking about this show, too, because I know Chris Rose might be on our show next week or soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
The host of the show. So he was saying, oh, what's he doing? And the co-host, Joe Stapleton, saying, oh, that's a perfect place to put in a raise, especially in the straddle. And he didn't do it. So everyone else came along. Tony G, of Poker News fame, and Doyle, they came along for the ride. Flop came 9-9-X, right?
Oops.
And so the kid bets out. I think the Kings bets out, and Helmuth raises, and then the guy re-raises, and then Helmuth shoves, and the guy calls and goes Kings, like he knows he's ahead. And Helmuth turns over ace nine. Oh, the guy was just nauseous. He thought he's going broke. So as they do in these cash games at these levels, they're like, you want to run it twice? And the guy was like, oh, thanks for asking. Yeah, I want to run it twice. And then Helmuth got greedy because he knew that they ran it three times. He'd be a statistical favorite to win at least two of those. So he's like, well, you want to do it three times? And then the guy was like, yeah. And then he said, you want to do it four times? So I was like, wow, four times. So he knows he's going to win three quarters of this pot. You know, he's getting greedy at least. So it turns out the guy wins three out of the four.
Ooh.
He won three out of the four with pocket kings, and it came runner, runner, spade, a king, and then the case king.
Wow.
Or a queen or something on three of the four hands. He lost one of them, and they were talking about the stats on the show, and they said it was 0.18% that he would win three out of those four hands in that situation.
Wow.
Helmuth was just steaming.
Well, hey, it's his fault. The other kid didn't offer.
No, I know. If they ran it once, he would have lost. If they ran it twice, they would have split. And they ran it three times, he lost, and four times, he lost. Oh, man, complete three out of four. Oh, man. So it's a pretty good show. It's a little different. You know, the setting, the room they play in looks like a futuristic room. And I like it so far. I have it TiVo'd. And they've done the smart thing, too. You know, for people who have TiVo who can't stay up for these shows, they have to make a choice.
Yeah.
Because Poker After Dark's on it, too, and this is on at like 1:30 or whatever. So it's smart putting it on a half an hour earlier, because now everybody's going to be like, well, I want to watch this one. I got to tape this one. You know, and then Poker After Dark loses all that audience. So they lost me. I'm TiVo in one. I can't watch them both. So pretty smart.
Well, yeah. Well, so hopefully we'll work out that the time with Chris Rose next week. And if folks have questions about the big game war for Chris Rose, email them to us at podcast@antiupmagazine.com.
Good point, man. Good point.
And meanwhile, there's a little tournament going on called the World Series, Chris. I don't know if you've ever heard about it, but it's getting bigger. You know, it might finally, get on some people's radars here pretty soon. You know, something kind of piddly this year, like 57 events, but you know, it's getting there.
So what you were saying was when they named it World Series, it was just wishful thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, you know, people were just kind of like, you know, grandstanding and stuff, and then, you know, hoping to grow into the big thing. So we hope this little engine that could, will grow at some point and become pretty big. We got a call a couple weeks ago. We've just been busy with other stuff on the show. But Tom, the Pizza Man Turley,
yep,
longtime listener, called the hotline and left a message about something that's obviously got a lot of press since then. But we haven't had a chance to talk about it. And it reminded me, as soon as I heard the clip, Chris, of somebody that I know very well. So let's play that clip, and then we'll laugh hilariously about it.
Hey, I'm reading a story I posted on the website about on the forums about a guy who was playing in the 1,000 after the second break, or excuse me, the second level. They were going on break. Everybody left the table except for two guys left in the hand. The one gentleman ended up winning the hand, and as he was raking in the pot with one hand, he looked over and saw the dealer was turned and actually grabbed chips from the neighbor who had already went on break. When they came back, they reviewed the tape, and they saw him clearly stealing chips. The guy is banned for life I mean, how stupid.
Now, didn't this happen to somebody named Chris Cosenza?
Oh, man. You know, but here... Yeah, it happened to me, and I stopped the World Series for like 15 minutes. It's my claim to fame. Some guy stole my chips, but he did it by accident, quote, quote, you know.
Quote, quote, yes, yeah, air quotes. Thanks, Joey.
And, you know, and they went to the eye in the sky to see how many chips I had left and gave me back my chips from the guy's stack, but they didn't punish him. You know, I mean, I guess it must have looked like those were part of the pot or something. But I know I remember having them against the rail, so I don't know. I don't know how that could have been misconstrued as, "Hey, there's part of the pot." You know,
that's why on breaks I always pick my chips up and take them with me.
You know, only in your dreams.
So that stuff doesn't happen. You know,
only in your dreams when you're playing on the wall. Hopefully, people will remember that story and get that. But it's crazy. This guy's banned from the World Series. So what was this guy thinking?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the real question here is, you know, how desperate are people to win these things that they do stuff that they almost have no shot of ever getting away with?
Yep, and that's what you get for lowering it to $1,000, too. You're going to get this sort of riffraff.
This riffraff, yes.
Coming in and thinking, cameras, what cameras? We don't need no stinking cameras.
They should put a steel door outside the World Series. Keep those people out.
Oh, man. I can't believe this guy just swipes chips because the dealer looked away.
You know, it's, I mean, I guess it is possible, almost anything is possible. It's possible that he could have gotten away with this, but the odds of getting it away with it are so thin, and it makes me wonder what kind of player he really is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of game of odds, and, you know, if he's this bad at calculating odds on stealing chips,
you know,
he's got to be worse at figuring pot odds than we are.
And everybody who like, when you go on a break, you always count your chips because you go and tell your buddies, I'm at 18, and then you lie because you're only at 15, but you're trying to make yourself feel better.
Exactly, yes.
When you get back to the table, you look down, you don't have 15 anymore. You're like, what happened to my 15,000? You know, did we do a raise for stacks or something? And then you got to go to the eye in the sky. How did he not know that was going to happen?
Yeah. Well, you know, if the whole everybody in the world was intelligent, we would have little to talk about. So thankfully, there are people out there that do silly stuff like this.
God, it's crazy. Well, Turley, thanks for calling in and telling us about that before. I mean, obviously, people know about it now, but man, we were in what, Tunica when this happened, right?
I guess. It was one of the early events. So, but
crazy.
Yeah, we have more crazy stuff in the World Series later on. But also, our good friend Lee Childs is out there, as people know. Sadly, he will not be with us with the hand of the week today, so you're going to have to suffer through with Chris and me. But he's out there. He's playing a lot of events. And, you know, the great thing about Lee and a lot of players is that he tweets from the table, Chris.
Yeah, tweets.
He's got his little Twitter bird there and, you know, tells the bird what to say. And, you know, we get immediate updates. And then he also goes the extra step and linked it to his Facebook page, which is good for me because I don't really follow Twitter.
Right.
But I do follow Facebook. So I saw this tweet from him. And for folks that don't know, all four of them in the world that don't know what Twitter is now, you only have 140 characters.
Yeah.
All right, so you can't be verbose.
Right.
You can't go on these long tangents like I do on the show. You got to
wrap it up.
Got to get right in, get out, right?
Makes you a good editor.
Sort of, maybe. So it's created this new shorthand that people use. And if you're in the know, like most people are on Twitter are, they're on this little clicky thing, they understand the shorthand and stuff makes sense to them, right?
Yeah.
If you're not in that universe, this stuff looks like Latin.
Latin. Or Greek.
Mogadishuan. Or some other kind of foreign language that none of us know that I can make up right now. So anyway, I thought this was funny because Lee posted something from one of his tournaments, and let me read it to you. Snapped aggro players KJ with A9CC. He spikes J, then ship last 675 BVB with JT. BB calls 69 78X flop. T turn, GG me.
What's not to understand?
All right, you know, I'm like, okay, great. So immediately, because on Facebook you can post a little comment there, and one of his friends, apparently not a poker player, posted, "Wow, I have no ideas what this means, but I hope it was good news." And then right after that, another one of his friends gave a verbose explanation. He translated this tweet for the non-tweeting universe, Chris.
Okay.
And I thought it was funny. He said, here's what his friend said. He said, he quickly called a very aggressive player with King Jack, with his ace of clubs and nine of clubs. The aggressive player hit a jack and beat him. Then, when it was blind versus blind, he pushed all in with Jack 10. The big blind called with 6-9. The flop was 7-8-X, and Lee did not want to pair his 10. He did, and now he is out.
Wait, he didn't explain what X was.
Yeah. Well, you know, Facebook, you only get 1,400 characters, so.
So I'm sure that he, what he did was he took that phrase from Lee and put it in the Google translation, dragged down to poker to English. That's what spit out right there.
Anyway, and then after that, then he put it into Speak Like a Pirate.
Arr.
Yes.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But, all right, so that was just a little funny. So I just thought it was interesting because you see this stuff all the time now.
Yeah.
In a bunch of, like, you know, incomprehensible babble, but it is completely comprehensible to people that know how to comprehend it.
Hey, that's from the redundancy department of redundancy. Hey, we got a little housekeeping, Scott. I know you're excited about this. I'll let you talk about it because whenever it's cruise related, you're the man. So
yeah, well, it's a long time coming. We've been looking really hard on trying to get Annie up Poker Cruise 3 up, and we've been teasing people for weeks, but we are. The website is up. That's the good news.
Yep.
Go to AnnieUpMagazine.com/cruise. Read all the details on Annie Up Poker Cruise 3. And then if you're ready to book, I think we'll actually start doing bookings next week. But go ahead and give me a call now. Put you on the pre-list. If you want to be first in line, give me a ring at 727-331-4335. Or email me at scott@annieupmagazine.com, and we'll get you set up. And just a reminder, nothing's changed from when we teased it on the show before. We're looking at October 25th to 29th aboard the Royal Caribbean Monarch of the Seas. We'll be sailing for 4 nights, Chris.
Yep.
Leaving out of Port Canaveral this time, which is close to Orlando. So if folks want to fly in, pretty big airport. I'm going to make not one but two port stops this time. That city in Bahamas that you make fun of me for pronouncing.
Just change the U to a W and you'll know how to pronounce it. That's all.
Nassau.
Nassau.
Nassau. Nassau, Bahamas. And also Royal Caribbean's private island, Coco Cay. Cabins are an amazing deal, Chris. Just $249 per person based on double occupancy.
God, that's
and
awesome.
Throwing in a free sit-and-go strategy class taught by our one of our new strategy columnists, Don Baruch. He won a World Series poker bracelet a couple years ago, Chris.
And I think it had something to do with sit-and-goes.
Yeah. It was in the shootout event. Yep. So, you know, he's what we like to call an expert in sit-and-goes. So if you're looking to improve your single-table game, that's free. That's part of the $249. Also totally free. Open bar cocktail party. That's, you know, you can drink a lot of stuff in an hour when it's free.
For those who have not attended, that's when Scott and I get up in front of everyone on the stage and a microphone and make fools of ourselves.
But you don't really notice it because you're drinking for free.
That's right, you're drunk, so it's cool.
And then we're also working on trying to include some kind of free ashore excursion. So don't get too excited about that until we actually know. But we're working on that, so that's 1, 2, 3 free things.
Free things.
Free things. $249. $249, three free things. There we go. See, you just got to slow down. I get too excited.
And I haven't had the heart to tell you that I think it's Coco Key, even though it's spelled C-A-Y. But
K.
I won't tell you. I won't tell you that now.
Because the Faso lives in a K/Key.
Yeah. You know, when we were on the Disney cruise, one of the rooms is like C-A-Y. And I'm like, hey, we're going to the K room. And then every week they're like, thank you for coming to dinner at the Key. And I'm like, Key? Where do they keep getting this Key from? And then they're, oh, that's how you pronounce it, man. It's Key. I'm like, what? So I don't know. I don't know how they're going to pronounce it. Royal
Caribbean. Don't know how much trouble I have with the English language to begin with. That they don't need to be going around messing up stuff like this for me. One more time, check out AnnieUpMagazine.com/cruise. All the details are there, including my number and email and all that. And hope to see a lot of podcasters on this one. Not going to get any cheaper than this, folks. If you're waiting for the $99 cruise, not going to happen.
Well, speaking of the podcast listeners, Free Roll this Saturday, tomorrow, if you're listening to it on Friday, June 19th, noon Eastern Time. It's No Limit Hold'em. It's the Free Roll for our main event on Saturday, June 26th at noon. So come one, come all, and try to win one of your free 10 seats on PokerStars.
No Limit Hold'em, so everybody should know how to play.
No complaints.
Yep, yep. You don't need training wheels for No Limit Hold'em. Everybody can play that. So show up and you know, get a free seat and then win some money in an Anner.
Or an Eddie.
Or an Eddie. Yes, that's true. That's true.
All right, well, without further ado, it's our special World Series of Poker edition of the Ante Up News Desk.
Yeah, you know, every journalist in poker is out in Vegas now, so, you know, if you see any news that's not World Series, I don't know where it's coming from.
Only from us, because we're not there.
All right, the World Series of Poker has announced the 20 players chosen by popular vote to play in the $1 million Tournament of Champions Free Roll on June 27th. Phil Ivey was the top vote-getter, earning just 28 more votes than Daniel Negreanu out of the 355,000 cast.
You know, the one player that I voted for didn't get there, Tom Schneider. I was hoping to get a cut of his winnings.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You might still be in luck because the World Series is starting the process of contacting the 20 winners to find out whether they're going to take their seat.
Ah.
You know, because there could be a chance that you don't want to play for a free $1 million, you know.
Yeah.
Or 500,000 if you win this thing.
Yeah.
And if any of these players cannot make it, then they go to the next on the list. And, of course, they didn't announce those. So maybe, Chris, Tom Schneider is 11th. As long as you take out one of these 20 people, you're back in the game.
That'd be awesome, man. He wins 500 grand, I get my cut. Move to Coco Key.
Change the name to K.
Change the name to K. All right. Everest Poker already suing Harrah's Entertainment over the inclusion of Full Tilt logos in a broadcast of the World Series of Poker has sued Harrah's again, this time for trademark infringement. The Las Vegas Sun reports that Everest is upset that its logos are still being displayed at the World Series of Poker, fearing that Harrah's will try to compel it to pay for the rest of the sponsorship agreement. So I guess Harrah's is Everest's Everest.
Very good. Very
Thank you
good.
Very much. Thank you.
You'll be here all hour.
All hour.
yeah, you know, when I first read the story, and I'm like, well, no, wait a minute. They're suing them because they're leaving their signage up? Doesn't that seem crazy?
Yeah, take our signs down. We don't want the publicity.
But then I kept reading, and I'm like, oh, all right, I get it, because it's kind of like, you know, an end around on an angle shoot.
Yeah.
Open, hey, we'll let your signs up. We did our part. You owe us the money.
Yeah.
So, you know, wow. Just a lot of – too many lawyers out there in Vegas, man. Let's just play some cards.
Yeah, really.
All right, well, finally, World Series of Poker Communications Director Seth Polansky has told Card Player that there will be, quote-unquote, repercussions for a half-dozen men who enter the ladies-only event. Polansky says that while the World Series can't prevent men from entering ladies' tournaments, it does reserve the right to refuse future service to anyone for any reason.
Oh.
No shirts, no shoes, no dice, Spicoli.
Wow, that's cool. I didn't think they could do that. That's great.
Well, yeah, you know, it's like a private company, just like, you know, restaurants and stuff. I mean, yeah. Obviously, if you kick somebody out, then they may sue you, but it doesn't seem like Harrah's really cares about that, you know, like a lot of lawyers.
They get sued all the time.
but yeah, this has turned into a pretty big issue out there this year. Some of these guys, and I think, I didn't read a lot about this, Chris. Some of our listeners probably have read in more detail than I did. But it seems like some of these guys are just kind of doing it as a joke.
Yeah.
You know, no one's laughing, but certainly it's got to a new level now, because we've talked about this on the show a number of times, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And whether guys should enter ladies events, whether there should be even ladies events, and but we got some reports from some of our readers that were out there that the women, the behavior of the women was even shocking to some of the women out there.
Yeah, we may have a column in our August issue about it, telling a first person telling us about how relentless they were on the men, and so we might learn a little more out of that as well.
Yeah, I think that lady said one lady just stood up and slapped the guy.
Oh,
I
no.
I have no problem with that. If you're a douchebag, oh, sorry, Deutsche Bank, eye and wants to enter as a ladies' event, if somebody wants to slap you, tase you, tar and feather you, I'm all for it. I'm right there. Still, it just seems kind of weird, you know. And that ends up the situation where, you know, people that are playing by the rules until they slap someone can end up getting in trouble too.
Yeah, yeah. Now you've just created this havoc. Just, oh, it's bull.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Oh,
all right, well, Chris, we have a busy show this week, and so we are going to give the hotline and the mailbag this week off, and we're going to give all of our swag gifts the week off, too, and we'll see what comes next week. If you want to call the hotline, it's 813-448-1120, and the mailbag and hand of the week, of course, podcast at antiupmagazine.com. But if you do want to win a $10 Get a Staking package or a free download of Poker Hand Breakdown Pro Hand History Analysis Program for single or mixed games from element26.net or an uncut sheet of J Design playing cards, call that number, email that address, or, Chris, you can enter Andy Up's monthly contest at andyupmagazine.com/contest. All that great swag was on the contest that will be chosen tomorrow, so you're probably too late now to enter that. But to enter it, and you'll be in for the next month. A lot of free stuff we're giving away here, Chris.
Take a breath, buddy.
Whew.
That's a lot of stuff to say all in one breath, man. I don't know how you did it.
Well, I just get excited that we're giving away free stuff, and I want people to actually want to get it. Right?
Yeah, I know. A lot of free stuff. Great.
If you give away free stuff in the forest and the tree doesn't hit the bear, does it really fall?
You know, and it's good free stuff, too. That's the thing. You know, it's not like, we'll give you a chip that... from our home game that's not work. I mean, this is good stuff too. So, you know, if you want it, man, just do it. Do it.
Just
hey,
do it.
We finally found our detective face down in a ditch in Henderson. Picked him up and said, "Dude, where are the mysteries?" And he said, "Oh, I got one, man. I got one from a super satellite. I'll get it to you soon." So, we finally got
it. Mystery on how CSI Miami exists on the air. That's the mystery I once solved.
Oh, man. Well, we missed him, though. We're glad he's back. Here is our new one-minute mystery.
Greetings. This is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery. The case of the train derailment. We're in a 100-player WSOP super satellite with prizes front-loaded to the top two finishers. We're reaching the final stages of the tournament now, and with 19 left, we're playing on three tables. The level is 200, 400, and the ante is 50. I think the average stack size is around 14K, which would be an M of around 14. And I have a stack size around 19K.
No need to rush, sir.
The end of the gun folds, and I look down at Queen of Spades, Queen of Diamonds. I raise it up to 999, and the next two players fold. The small blind, however, shoves all in for 7,600, and the big blind calls for 3,300. The pot is 11,383, and I immediately click the time button. Wow. While I'm thinking about this, another player busts, and we are going to move to two tables of nine on the next hand.
I am not feeling too good.
So what do you think? Call or fold?
Don't you ever get tired? Tired of constantly getting the red carpet treatment?
Good evening.
Tired of having all your worries taken care of and knowing that there's a place reserved for you?
Right this way, sir.
Of course you don't. That's why you join PokerStars. After all, our VIP club awards over $3.6 million worth of major on- and offline tournament entries every month. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out more about why other reward schemes just don't open as many doors. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
Well, Scott, you know, we've been traveling a lot lately, and no trip was as important as this last one we took over to West Palm Beach to play in and host our Anti-Up Poker Tour Player of the Year Party and Awards Ceremony. And, you know, you got to really, you know, tip your hat to the Palm Beach Kennel Club for allowing us to have it there and providing food and taking care of the buy-ins of our top 10 players. It's just a class act over there. We had a real good time and glad to be back, but it was great to go over there.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just, you know, a testament to all these great rooms that we work with here in Florida and all the great rooms we're getting used to working with elsewhere that, you know, they're like ante up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the players are liking it. This Antioch poker tour that we did, which is kind of our live poker series, you know, kind of caught on. We had some people that really got excited about it. And I'll tell you how excited some of them got. Of our top 10, 7 of them drove over to West Palm Beach. Not a long drive for some of them, but some people were in the car for 3 hours, probably at least.
Oh, yeah.
To get down there. That's pretty amazing. And the three who couldn't make it were out in Vegas, actually. So I'm sure they would have been there, too, if they could. So people really had a lot of fun, and we had a good turnout for the tournament. Some bounty. People love bounties.
Yep.
You're not too excited taking you and me out. You know, even though we threw Andy up shirt in there. But you know, it's not like you're going to go bragging to your friend, hey, I took Scott Long out of a tournament.
Hey, but it was great. They put our the guy who knocked me out put the shirt on.
And yeah, that's right.
And then I gave him the patch for knocking us down. He took the AndyUpMagazine.com patch and stuck it to his head on his hat on front and back. And so, you know, they got excited about it, too. It was a fun tournament, and it ended in time, too. It ended around midnight or so, and it worked out well.
You got pretty close, and that guy that knocked you out knocked out two others, too, I think.
Yeah, the guy had like $300 in just bounties alone.
Yeah, the dog, the bounty hunter, has lost his job, man. That was picked up this guy.
I want to be Billy the Exterminator. That's who I want to be. Have you noticed this lately? All of these TV shows on the cable networks have been insert first name here, insert occupation here, and in between put the word the. Have you noticed this lately?
Yeah.
It's like Bert the Conqueror, Billy the Exterminator, Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Well, yeah, and I was going to try to keep this a secret as long as I can, but you're going to find out, Chris. Debuting on Oxygen next week. Scott the Poker Loser.
On Oxygen.
I was trying to get a better name for it, but no, that's what the Screenwriters Guild insists now, that all shows be that format. So.
And I have one on the DYK network. The
DYK,
you know,
right? All right.
And it's the Chris the Chip Sander. You know. Or the DIY, the do-it-yourself. That's what it should be, the DIY.
You have a very small but fiercely dedicated audience for that show, Chris.
Chris the Chip Sander, and I'm scheduling it a half an hour before yours for TiVo purposes. So that they'll have to make a choice between me and you, and make sure that it airs at like 1 a.m.,
Oh, man.
All right, we're getting off topic here. The main reason we went there, of course, was to celebrate our AUPT Player of the Year, Mr. Walt Strakowski of West Palm Beach. Great guy. And, you know, we had a chance to interview him there, too. But, you know, he brought his dad, and you know, he proudly wore the patch and wore the awesome Madison Jewelers bracelet. Man, that thing was heavy. You know, I saw it once before, but, you know, time, you know, heals all memory. So I couldn't remember how heavy that thing was, but it was a nice bracelet, dude.
Yes, Phil Ralph up at Madison Jewelers in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Just a class guy, too, and puts together some real good stuff there. And, you know, he does more than just poker stuff. He's a normal jeweler just kind of working into this stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when he sent that to me, I was like, wow, I am glad I am Phil's friend.
It was nice.
Somebody's going to be happy wearing this, and no one was happier to be wearing it than Walt. The dude's got an official Walt Strakowski fan page on Facebook now, Chris.
That's incredible.
Got a little picture of the bracelet. He's got pictures of us, you know, including he snapped a picture. Insisted to, and this is why I like Walt, Chris. He insisted that I keep my Miller High Life tall boy in the photo.
Yeah, I saw that.
One more reason to play poker at the Palm Beach Kennel Club. You know, good bidder selection there. But yeah, but Walt just absolutely loved this tour and put everything into it, and we were very happy to see him win. And it was fun talking to him at the tournament, seeing the family, and we got a real good interview out of him, didn't we?
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that people will notice in this interview, too, is how excited you were. I don't know if it's because you had the tall boys in you already, but you're all pumped at this interview. It's like you're all excited. We had a real good time talking to him. So, and at least Scott's not slurring his words, which is always good for an interview. But So, without further ado, here is our interview with our Player of the Year, Walt Strakowski.
All right, today on the show we have Walt Strakowski Jr. He is the Anti-Up Player, Poker Tour Player of the Year. And for our listeners out there, that's our Florida tour that we started, Chris, a year ago. We sat down and concocted this thing to get people to drive around the state and, you know, advertise in our magazine. And what we were hoping for, above all else, was someone who wanted to win this. Just like in Apes, we want people to win, want to win Apes. And our winner, Walt, here is definitely somebody who wanted to win this.
We wanted somebody who we knew would be sadistic enough to attempt this, and we found him. Walt, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Nice being here.
So tell us what it's like to finally have the awesome Madison Jewelers Anti-Up bracelet on the wrist.
My arm has gotten so much stronger by carrying this thing around, this solid silver, beautiful bracelet, that my bicep on my right arm is twice as big as my absolutely unbelievable.
And we love the shameless plug there for our sponsor, Madison Jewelers in Virginia Beach, a good friend of Lee Childs.
Absolutely, good friend of our columnist Lee Childs and Anti Up National. So, Walt, tell us a little bit about the year that was Walt Strakowski's Player of the Year. What year was it for you?
Have trouble pronouncing that name too?
I've never had trouble actually speaking, Chris. But other than that, it was a lot of fun. It really was. It started out as just something that I read in the magazine, and I said, I really think I'm going to try to do this, and went to the first tournament with my dad, and we wound up finishing first and second in that tournament, and saw my name on the leaderboard, and I said, okay, I'm going to really devote some time and take it seriously, and I did, and it turned out great.
Well, tell us a little bit about your dad, because you brought him out to that first tournament. You guys had a good battle. He's here tonight at our Player of the Year party. Did you learn to play from him? Did you teach him? What's your relationship with him?
You know, my dad and I are real close. We have a very real close family, and you know, as kids, he was teaching me and my sister both, you know, how to play cards, poker. My mom plays rummy and gin, and you know, and it was a great family type environment to learn how to play cards. And he taught me how to play seven stud and a five card draw, and you know, and so I learned those games as a child. And as I started to grow up, and poker became prevalent, started seeing some of it on TV. I really want to learn how to play hold'em. So I got a couple of books and, dove right in, and it's turned out real well for me.
Is hold'em now your game of choice, though, or do you ever experience the other games as well, and do you enjoy those too?
I like all the games. I love horse tournaments. They're a lot of fun. You know, I'm not as good as any other disciplines, but I do like stud and PLO, and, you know, I'm really devoting a lot of time right now trying to learn how to play limit poker, and I think that's the next up and coming phase, at least here in Florida, with the new limits coming in, and I'm looking forward to playing some higher stakes limits games.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. A lot of our listeners are outside of Florida, but obviously they're very interested in what's going on in here in Florida, and we're coming up here on really a transformation of Florida poker here. What are you expecting to see on July 1st in Florida?
I think we're going to see a huge influx of out-of-state players coming in here to play in probably some of the greatest rooms, or what they would perceive as some of the softest rooms where they can come and play. I think they're in for a rude awakening. I think we have a really enormous amount of quality players here in the state of Florida, and they're going to be shocked. They're going to be pleased with the action, but I think they're going to be shocked at some of the level of play. But you know, it's like anywhere else. I mean, these guys coming from California, from Nevada, from wherever else, there's going to be good players and bad players.
Have you made a decision as to what you're going to want to sit down and play with once the levels change?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm learning now and trying to focusing my attention on learning how to play better limit games. And, you know, it has some bankroll protection as well as, you know, being able to play some higher limit games. And you're going to get probably some of your better players playing there. And some of the out-of-state players coming are going to be looking for higher level limit games. So that's what I'm going to look for.
Okay.
Now, this tour was about tournaments, though. So what do you look for when you try to figure out where to play a tournament, as long as it's not an Anti-Up event? We know you're going to find that.
Anti-Up events, there's, you know, no holds barred. I'll pretty much go to any one of them anywhere in the state or anywhere in the country. But as far as playing tournaments here in Florida, I think what I look for is structure. I look for starting chips. I look for the level of blind levels and how long we're going to get to play. I am a firm believer that the more chips, the longer levels, and the better structures you find, that rewards better players. And the lightning fast tournaments that we've been used to in the past, I think you're seeing fewer and fewer good players or strong players play in those games because there's too much luck involved. I like to take a little bit of the luck out of the mix and try to work towards getting more of the skill in the balance.
Tell me about pocket eights.
My favorite hand. Bar none, my favorite hand. I can tell you a sob story about it.
That's how we live for. We love other people's misery.
It's not a bad beat story. It's a hand I folded. We're playing at a World Series satellite, and I've got pocket eights, and I'm third in chips at the table, and the big blind and small blind, who are the two bigger stacks at the table, move in front of me. Both of them have ace-king. I think, and I fold the pocket eights. I flopped an eight and turned an eight, and both of them had ace-king and bricked the board, and they both move in on the flop.
Oh.
And that cost me a World Series main event seat last year.
Oh, my
God. But it's still my favorite hand.
Still your favorite hand.
And I will never fold it again.
All right, well, we're talking about a World Series. You're getting ready to go out there to probably play in some events, right?
Absolutely.
What events are you eyeing right now?
Not to give up any of my secrets, but this year I did turn 50, so I'm eyeing the senior event for the first time.
Oh,
ever.
Excellent.
And that's on June 18th, so I'm hoping to get out there and be able to play that.
Wow, 50 years old, I'm shocked. I would never think you're 50 years old.
Well, it's a bluff. But yes, I turned 50 this year. I look a lot younger, thank God. I can thank my mom and dad for that.
So what are some of the other events? And also, will you try to do the satellite thing again?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely going to try to satellite into a main event seat. I went out there 2 years ago, played my first event I played in, got real deep with something like 3,600 players. I finished 38th, made a nice payday on that, and free-rolled the rest of my trip. So that was great, and I was able to satellite into the main event. So I'm hoping to do something similar to that this year. Get out there, play the first event, make a nice catch, free-roll the rest of the events, and see what happens.
Well, we're sitting here tonight at the Palm Beach Kennel Club, which is closest room to your home. I know the Palm Beach Princess was good to you. It's no longer in existence. What are some of the other rooms that you like to play in Florida?
All the rooms up and down the east coast of Florida are the ones that I've been going to, but I like the Isle. David, the poker room manager there, really nice guy. Down at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Jeff, the tournament director down there, really nice guy. I mean, these are really good people. They try to take care of their players. The Palm Beach Kennel Club, of course, this is my home house, and Joe Conti here is just the best as far as tournament directors go, and in charge of tournament operations. He's really made this a quality place to play play tournaments, and the structures are getting better, and the levels are getting better, and it helps the better players.
Now, are you prepared for the inevitable celebrity that is about to engross you from being on the cover of Antioch Magazine in July?
The thing that scares me is I see a lot of people, pick up the magazine and they read it and then they sit on it. That's the one thing that's going to bother me a little bit. I think there's going to be several people in this room that probably take a little bit of pleasure out of that. So I'm gonna defer. I'm gonna really enjoy being on the cover and send copies to all of my friends and everything. But it's gonna be a little unusual.
Well, Walt, we were very, very proud to have you as our first champion to our tour. And like Scott said in the beginning of the show, we really wanted somebody to embrace it and somebody that we can be proud of to be our champion. And you definitely fit the bill. Congratulations, and really thanks again for joining us on the show.
Thanks a bunch, guys. I appreciate it. And thanks for putting on the tour. And I'm looking forward to it next year.
This is Noah Brunson, and you're listening to Annie Up.
Chris, are you ready to laugh?
I am. Whenever I talk to you, I always laugh. So I am born ready.
Whether you're ready or not, it's going to happen, right? But but I love this hand of the week.
Okay.
I'm going to make sure to have I Heart HOTW and send one to David in Upper Montclair, New Jersey. Not really. I'm not really going to make those.
Yeah, don't get his hopes up.
But a phenomenally funny hand here, and it's a good hand too. I don't want to say I'm just putting it on here for the yuck factor, but it's great because it also kind of trends my little travels this year, Chris. Because Dave was up in Montreal.
Oh.
And went over to the Casino de Montreal. And play some poker, and folks that listen to the show know that I dragged Laura over there when we went. Didn't play, but kind of gave you a little road trip feel to it. But Dave actually played, which makes for far better hands of the week.
Yeah, it's hard to have a hand of the week when you don't play poker.
But he said he was in Montreal for a couple days on business, and what better way for a non-French-speaking New Yorker to spend his evening than take the taxi over to the Casino du Montreal? An adventure, to say the least. All right, so he says he got there, Chris. Room is very nice. Yeah, yeah. Everybody's listening to the podcast. They know that already, Dave. blah, 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 blah. He said the only thing that was going on that night was no limit. Sans limite. Actually, see, I messed it up. It's sans limite.
Yeah, you don't pronounce the S.
S's, keys, K's. You know, it's just too hard sometimes. All right, so sans limite. He said they had mostly 1-2 and 2-5 games going. I said that he thought there was also a 50-cent dollar game as well as a 5-5. So, you know, a lot of options for the non-limit players there.
So were these are Canadian dollars, right?
Yeah. So it's more like, you know, a couple pennies for you.
Yeah, it's like 2-cent, 4-cent, penny any stuff.
So he says he bought it for 180 Canadian, sat down on 1-2 table. And he said, Chris, it was interesting playing with a French deck. Okay. Have you played with a French deck before, Chris?
Not in public.
It's really interesting because the green lights flash in them.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I've never seen a French deck, though I heard that their pips are a little different or something.
Yeah, well, here is what how he describes them. The kings are marked with a capital R.
Huh.
Queens are with a D, and jacks with a V.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Yeah, hey, it's their language. They can do whatever they want, right? You know?
Yeah, really? Yeah.
It's just different, right?
Right.
Now, he says for blackjack, that's no problem, but try keeping track of straight and boat draws when you have a VD and the board reads RDAD.
If you have VD, you better go to the clinic. Don't worry about what the board's reading. Worry about what the test results say.
Great red light district in Montreal. All right. So he says it's a typical five players to the flop game. So good old no phones. Glad to hear that it's spread from Florida all the way up to Canada. So he's built a stack up to about 240, and he's dealt pocket R's in the cutoff.
Wait a minute. R's are kings?
R's are kings.
All right, yeah. So we have pocket R's. We have
pocket
railroad.
R's the cutoff.
Do you think they call it railroad up there?
That would be awesome. That's what I would call it. Of course, you'd have to do the French word for railroad.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, forget it.
Lay railroad. Railroad.
Lay railroad. Oh, man. All right, so we have pocket kings, and we're up about 60 Canadian bucks, which is like, what, 18 cents?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So he said he had to check his cards twice to make sure they were RR. One guy limps for $2 ahead of him, and it gets to him, Chris. What do you do with pocket R's in this situation?
Let's see, a one limper, $2, probably 15. I probably raised to like 12 or 15, maybe.
Over 15. All right, I like that. I like that. Our hero makes it $10, which he says was standard for that. I don't know really what standard means when it's... You've got a limper in there.
Yeah, because it's standard. Was it standard generally, when it was first in, or was it standard?
Yeah, generally, you talk about standards first in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, hey, French poker room might have different rules for standards there.
Well, okay, well, if it was standard, then he should have made it 12 because of the limper. So that was about what I said, 12, 15.
Well, let me ask you this, too. If it's standard, regardless of what standard is, do you want to make a standard bet with pocket kings in a cash game?
I think I do. I think that... If it's the type of hand where he says everyone goes to the flop, then you really want to try to weed him out. You don't want some ace rag in there, and you certainly don't want four callers. So I think that's about the right amount, 5x, 6x, I mean.
Okay.
So I think so. I think that's what I would do with it. I'd make it 12 or 15 to go.
All right. Well, the button folds, small blind folds, and the big blind, who has a stack of about 230, raises to 30, and our initial number gets out of the way, and it's right back to us.
Huh. Well, I mean, if I was TJ,
let me pause you here for a minute, Chris, too, because my favorite part of the hand of the week is the huh from you.
it's interesting, you know. Huh. I know I'm trying to remember. We're going to be in position now.
That is correct. We're going to be
in position.
And
we got a blind re-raising our raise. So, you know, TJ Cloutier would say the third raise is kings or aces, and we're going to be the third raise, and we have. R's or whatever aces are, A's, I guess.
We got wired R's.
We got wired R's. So I'm going to make it 100 to go now.
I totally agree with you, Chris. Good thing we have the French stuff to laugh about in this hand. You know, I want to get my money in here. Now, if he's got aces, you know, good luck to you, sir.
Well, I would definitely raise again here. I mean, yeah, there's no way for a $230 stake or whatever I have, 240 or whatever, that I'm folding kings in a cash game. So I'm going to re-raise here again, so.
Okay, well, Hero decides to call the 30, and here's his rationale. He says he felt if he 3-bet, I'd be basically turning my hand face up, exposing those beautiful RRs. he says, I'll be able to get away after a continuation bet is called when an ace flops, and I also thought that being a little tricky here gives me my best chance to stack my opponent. Discuss.
Okay, well, I guess. You know, I got to tell you, I'd be happy with just winning the, you know, the 30 and the, whatever, the $35 or whatever and moving on with kings, because they are ace magnets, and you don't know this guy has, you know, ace king or ace queen with the re-raise. He could have jacks or queens or you know, even tens, you know. I mean, so you could be way ahead here. And if you are way ahead, the smooth call, then you don't know when it comes, you know, queen, jack, nine, you know, where you are, you know. So I want to get the hand over with now. I want to take it down right now and be happy and move on.
All right, let me interject something that I've been thinking about here lately, Chris. It's these trying to stack people with aces and kings. And I'm having trouble understanding this concept, because when the flop comes, unless you flop a stack, which you want to do with pairs anyhow, right?
Right.
You still have one pair. Correct me if I'm wrong, right?
That would be the case.
Most of the time, unless right. there's obviously another pair or something out there. In which case you'd have two pairs, and my story would be moot. But what's the number one way that people lose their stacks, Chris, would you say?
Is when they have an overpair to the board and the other guy outflopped them with like a real coordinated hand or two pair or set.
I would tend to agree that single pair or top pair, top kicker is where people lose their stacks yep. more often, right?
Yep.
So why do we want to slow play a situation that increases our odds of getting stacked ourselves?
It's a great question, and I believe it's rhetorical because there really is no reason to answer that. I mean, I agree. The whole point of having kings is to have a big hand. I mean, if they're going to get it all in, they're going to get it all in, but why let them see the cards for their price? Let them see the cards for your price when you're, you know, when you have a made hand this big. So don't let them see the cards for their raise. You know, that, and I agree. I think that how many people get it all in after the flop when they have a pair that's top pair, top kicker, or over pair, only to see they're drawing dead because some guy had jack 10 and it came 9, queen, king, you know, or whatever. So, yeah, I agree. I would re-raise again.
Yeah, and I'm not picking on Dave here. This is just a general discussion that I think when you're thinking about stacking, and again, I don't play a lot of Nolan the cash games, so I don't really know why I'm even pretending that I know how to play them. But I would say when you're trying to stack them, you're thinking about set mining and straights
right.
and flushes and things like that. So like 7-6 suited, those kind of hands, that's where I'm trying to stack someone. With a king, with kings or aces, I'm just trying to get as much money as I can pretty quickly and not get cracked.
Yep. Yep. I mean, you know, if the guy shoves, you know, there's only one hand that beats you. And like you said, more power to him, so... I'm calling. So I have to re-raise and hope to take it down now. And then if he calls me, any flop under an ace, I'm shoving. So, but then again, that's how you get into trouble. So we don't want that. We want him to fold now or to shove and be behind us. So I don't like the smooth call, to be honest. I know I'm in position, and that's kind of cool. And if you know exactly how this person plays and you play with them for years, that's different. But if you don't know this person and you're sitting down, obviously you don't. You're in Canada from Jersey.
Yeah, you don't even know the language.
Yeah, you don't even know what RR is. So
Jersey, you probably don't even know English.
So you might want to just consider re-raising here and taking the hand down.
All right. Well, again, our hero just called. The flop comes 7-6-4 rainbow, and apparently numbers are consistent in French. So, and our opponent bets out 25.
Yeah, there's no way this guy has a straight or a set. I mean, he wouldn't have re-raised you out of position with pocket seven, sixes, or fours, I don't think. And there's no way he has 5-8 or 5-3. So I'm putting him on like jacks or aces. But I think it's something like jacks because it just feels like it. Especially 25 into what amounts to be, what, like a $70 pot now, almost $70. It's only a third of the pot. So I would raise. I would raise to like 75, 100 here.
Well, our hero does raise to 75. So okay. We're all back in line now.
Yeah, we're all congruent.
Congruent. Very good. Our opponent, our opponent thinks for a while and calls.
Yeah, it feels like jacks or it feels like they're behind us. It doesn't feel like they have aces and they're slow playing it.
Right.
Feels like jacks or it could be queens maybe, but it feels like something like that or tens.
Yeah, I agree. I'm feeling better about this whole situation now, but remember we got to fade two more cards here.
Yeah,
this
no, absolutely.
This is why I don't like being in this situation to begin with. Right now we're all right.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to reassess everything. On every card, which I guess you got to do anyhow. But
yeah, I mean, if he has something like pocket nines and then an eight drops,
yep.
You know, now you're like, oh, damn, now this guy's going to be open-ended, and no matter what, I bet he's probably sticking around. And so I don't like it at all.
I can see at the table. Oh, damn.
Oh, damn.
All right, the turn is an offsuit deuce. And our opponent checks to us again.
All right, well, let's see. We raised to 75, so that's like 150 plus this. So there's like over 200 in the pot now, right?
Yeah, about 200.
And I've already put, I had 240, and I've already put at least 105 in there. I'm probably just shoving now.
Yeah.
What do I have left? What am I going to do, bet 50 again? And then that's half my stack anyway. I can't fold anything. So I might as well just put it all in there.
I think you're right. At this point, if you're going to play the hand the way you have, you've got the kind of flop that you're hoping for. You got the turn you're hoping for. Let's not give him one more free shot
to
crack us on the river, you know, unless there's a King's Crack promotion going on.
No, an RR cracked promotion.
All right, well, our hero bets 50, Chris.
Well, that's a value bet there that just reeks of value. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't like that bet. I probably, you know, sometimes I think I'm sitting at a table and it just looks like it's a good amount, even though the pot's massive and you're only betting a quarter of the pot. $50 sometimes just seems right when you're playing 1-2.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's not too bad, but, you know, I probably would have shoved. But, you know, you want to get your paid off, too, so 50 isn't seeing the river for free. So I guess 50 is not too bad of a bet, but I probably would have made it 75, and if I had 100, I probably would have shoved, so...
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got the 50, and our opponent raises us to 100.
Huh. Another huh. you know, I can't fold, so it makes no difference what he did now. I have to call. That's the rest of my stack, I think.
We're in too deep, as they would say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're pulling up our bootstraps and hoping that this guy has, like, jacks or tens or something. So I can't get away from it. I have to call.
All right, well, our hero does call, thinking that he's probably ahead of the range here. He says sets are unlikely with the pre-flop action. Yes, the dreaded ace-ace is a possibility, but if he has it, quote-unquote, nice hand, sir. So everything that we said, two streets ago. All right, the river is a V.
A V. Wait a minute, that's, what are those, jacks?
Come on, so easy. Do you need
sorry.
A refresher course? It's all ball bearings.
I was looking at my pad here. All right, so V is jacks.
V is a jack, yes.
So if he has jack, we're screwed.
So our final board is 7-6-4 deuce jack.
No flushes, no straights, really, other than 3-5 or whatever,
yeah, yeah.
5-8.
She already had those baby straights. So our hero thinks V gets there, but more likely is that the jack helped him get a better second best hand.
Huh. Yeah, I don't think he made a second best hand with that. He's not going all the way with ace jack or
ace V, please.
AV. Audio visual. But yeah, there's no way that happened. So either we're beat by it or we're not. But you know, only two hands beat us now, really. Jack and ace. So you know, all obviously, right. If we have, what do we have left? We got to have like $30 left. If
yeah, we don't have much. You know, we got enough for a you know, a Subway value meal probably. but our opponent checks to us, Chris.
Oh, what the hell? Why would you?
I knew that would get that would relegate, huh, to the scrap pile there.
There's $400 in this pot. He only has $30 left. What are you checking?
You know, and to be honest, I've forgotten how this hand ends. Normally, I know, but I guess I got to think at this point that we're up against an unsophisticated opponent, probably, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's no way if he hit a set of jacks that he's checking and not getting paid off for it. And yeah. So if he has aces, he might be afraid of us having jacks, but it's only $35. So I think we're ahead here, and the guy's an idiot.
I mean, really, the only thing the way this guy's played it, now maybe he's going to school me here when we find out, but the only thing that he's done in his hand that doesn't scream unsophisticated was the raise out of position pre-flop.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Then he, you know, after that, I mean, the min raise on the turn seems weird, and now checking on the river seems weird, and okay. Not weird as in a tricky way, just weird as in,
yeah.
All right, I'm just having fun tonight, kind of weird, you know?
Yeah, you know, all right, here's the thing. I was saying jacks the whole way, but since he checked on the end, he doesn't have pocket jacks. He's got to have queens, tens, or aces. And the tens, if he has tens, that's why he's, you know, checking on the end, because the jack could have beat him. Or if he has queens, he's thinking the jack beat him, and now he thinks that we have a set of jacks, and that's why he checked, maybe. So it's got to be, I don't see it being aces. I just don't, the way he played it. And there's no way he's folding aces on the end there for $30. So yeah, I feel it's got to be tens or queens.
Well, I think you make a good point about how it can't be VV, because,
yeah,
you know, when you make that check raise on the turn, regardless of what you have, you're setting yourself up to bet the river regardless.
Yeah.
And if you were doing that with pocket jacks and then the jack comes, that's beautiful.
Yep.
Because now your opponent's expecting you to bet regardless.
Yep.
And you just, you know, made your hand. So there's no reason to check there.
Yeah, there's no reason to check. And there's no way you're folding to a bet. So, that's just the stupidest check ever. I mean, it really feels like tens, but I guess I would throw queens in the mix too in case he thinks we had jacks and he was ahead of us the whole time. And now we caught up. But I can't put him on aces. And I mean, maybe he could have the other two kings, maybe, but that's really weird. I'd never, ever think that. So, tens or queens, baby. It's tens or queens.
I guess he could have really misplayed a set here, too, I guess. But weird.
Yeah.
All right. So, our opponent checks. What do we do now?
Oh, well, we only have $35 left. So, I mean, I guess you could just check and be happy with the pot, you know.
Hey, it depends who's playing in the theater that night, you know.
That's right.
Jewel.
You can save that money
for
tickets.
I'm saving my $30 and go down to see Jewel.
That's true. Or if you want to have, you know, brews with the guy who looks just like me, you know, you want to save
that
money.
Come on. Have you been to Canada, Chris? $30 isn't going to get you a shot of beer up there.
All right. Well, then I guess you're going to have to just shove it in. But, I mean, I guess I would shove. I mean, I know I'm going to get called. So, I mean, it makes no difference. I have no problem tabling it either and just saying, you know, I'm happy. It's a big pot. I'm happy with the pot, but.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, I guess that's a point to consider. I mean, and we don't have the exact amount that we have left here, but it's pretty small. I mean, is it worth it to put it in to get that extra versus keeping it? I guess it all depends on what your bankroll is at that point.
Yeah.
But you could probably make a case either way, right?
Right, because we put in 30 preflops, so that makes it 190 or 210. And then we got 100 on his check raise, so that makes it 110, and then the 75 before,
yeah,
the 75 before that, so that brings it down to like $40. So I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess I'd shove it, I'd put it out there.
All right, well,
I'd go tapi, as they say.
All right, exactly what our hero does. Opponent goes into a tank, thinks a long wire, while mutters under his breath in French. And eventually calls. We table our RR. He screams French insult. And slaps his double D's on the table.
He slaps his double D's. Oh, man. So that's queens, right? Oh, man, that's hilarious.
Cooled by the tourists with the kings. S'il vous plaît, avec moi, s'il vous plaît.
Oh, man, queens. Yeah, it had to be queens. It had to be queens or tens. There's no other hand, really, that made sense there. And like you were saying, misplayed a set. I don't think somebody re-raises there with sevens, fours, or fives, or sixes, I mean. So I don't think it was. There's no way it was a set. That's hilarious. Oh, man, tables is double Ds.
Well, it wouldn't have changed anything either, but I think the mistake, the biggest mistake you made was the min raise on the turn.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I'm going to be able to fold for the min raise there.
No. And what do you think you're going to find out with that, you know?
Yeah, because if a king or ace comes on the river, you're sunk, and then it turns out he was scared off by a jack even on the river.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to raise that point, raise enough to win the pot, you know?
Yep.
Don't just build a pot for somebody to suck out on you or somebody that might already be ahead of you. It makes no sense to me.
Slaps his double D's on the table. Oh, my God. That's hilarious. That was a great hand, man. That was a great hand.
All right. Well, Dave, we appreciate you sending that in. And while our normal swag is taking the week off, we are going to send you a new item that may be working its way into all of our stuff. But you can definitely get it on our contest. We are going to send you a free set of Texas Hold'em Wipeout Tactic training CDs from texashold'em-strategies.co.uk.
Wow.
All the way from Britain.
Wow.
But they sound pretty cool, and I don't believe that they have any of the footage from the Wipeout TV show, which might make it a little more fun. But $70 value there, Dave, just for entertaining us with your double Ds and double Rs. So.
Wow. That's huge.
So again, we'll get those out to you pretty soon. And, folks, send your hands to the podcast at animagazine.com. You never know what you're going
to
win.
Another quality product brought to you by the folks of Annie Up. All right, well, I want to thank Walt for spending some time with us over at the Palm Beach Kennel Club. It was another good show. Scott, you were hilarious.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Locke.
We'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.